Today's episode of Locked On Yankees is brought to you by Built Bar. Go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON and you'll get 20% off your next order.
You are Locked On Yankees, your daily New York Yankees podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome.
You're listening to the Locked On Yankees podcast, which is part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'm your host, Stacey Gotsoulias. You can find us on Twitter at Locked On Yankees, all one word. You can find me on Twitter at Stace Gotts. Please feel free to tweet questions or comments to either account. If you're a new listener, hello and welcome. If you're a returning listener, welcome back. I hope you all enjoy today's episode. I am going to try and go through what we have to be thankful for as Yankee fans, because there's not a lot of news going on. It's a little slow. There was a trade in baseball that involved four players I've never heard of. I'll talk about that and more. But first, you can get Locked On Yankees and all other Locked On podcasts straight to your phone in Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Himalaya, Spotify, Stitcher, or anywhere else you get your podcasts. And when you get into your car, you can tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Yankees. It's the day before Thanksgiving, and all throughout the house... Oh, wait, no, that's wrong. Although it is the day before Thanksgiving, it's not a normal day before Thanksgiving because of COVID and people not allowed to go places, even though they are going places. Don't get me started. Anyway, I hope you all have safe plans for tomorrow if you celebrate American Thanksgiving. If you're my listeners in Europe and Australia and Canada, happy Thursday tomorrow. There will not be a show because we have the day off for Thanksgiving so we can spend time with our families. It'll be a low-key Thanksgiving for us. There will only be four of us getting together, which is a switch from my childhood. My grandparents lived in Upper Manhattan, so did my great-aunts, my cousins, and we would frequently have over 20 people in a two-bedroom apartment. And if you grew up in New York City and you know what it's like to be in an apartment in New York City during late fall and winter, because when Christmas comes around, it's cold out, you know that by the end of the night, no one is wearing what they showed up in at the beginning of the day. Because by the end of the day, you're a sweaty mess, thanks to the heat. And I was joking about this on Twitter last night, that if you look at old pictures from our holidays when I was a child, you know what time of day it is when everyone is down to their undershirts, men, and women are wearing house coats with nothing underneath. Anyway, so yeah, no show tomorrow for Thanksgiving, and then I will be back on Black Friday. Although I don't really think they should, I don't know. Black Friday doesn't mean the same thing anymore because you can buy everything online. And especially now, you don't want to be near people that you don't know who you don't know if they've been around people with COVID, if they have COVID. There are people who are walking around with it and don't know and don't care that they're spreading it. So I wouldn't want to be in a store in close proximity with people trying to buy a TV because it's like $300 cheaper than usual. So Hall of Fame ballots are trickling out. They were sent out to the writers and some of them are turning them in. There was one that was turned in early today that they publicized. It was anonymous, and there's a good reason why it's anonymous. I understand that the baseball writers who are allowed to vote for the Hall of Fame can do whatever they want with their ballots. With that being said, there's a lot of shenanigans going on, and I think that sometimes these guys take it too far, and I'm saying these guys because it's mostly men. They take it too far and do extremely silly things. The one guy who voted only Jeter last year voted for no one this year. He couldn't see anyone Hall of Fame worthy at all, which is ludicrous because there are a few guys on the ballot that deserve to be at least voted for. Anyway, this latest ballot is anonymous. There are 9 picks, which is nice because you're allowed to vote for 10 players. And when there are a number of guys on the ballot, that have Hall of Fame numbers and the writers choose not to vote for them, I have an issue with that. So the one good thing about this ballot is that it's 9 players. And that's all I can say about it because, okay, this is who he voted for. And I'm saying he again. I'm assuming it's a man because I really don't think a woman writer would do this because, again, there aren't as many lady voters as there are men voters. So I'm assuming this is a guy. Bobby Abreu, Tori Hunter, Andrew Jones, Andy Pettit, Aramis Ramirez, Manny Ramirez, Scott Rowland, Omar Vizquel, and Billy Wagner. I know, I'm waiting for you to take this all in, think about it. Everyone was perplexed by this. Major baseball writers were perplexed by this ballot. Joe Posnanski was puzzled. Rob Nyer was puzzled. I'm puzzled. I'm not a major writer. I never was. But I wrote for some cool places in the past. This is my issue with this. This is what I don't get. The person didn't vote for Barry Bonds or Roger Clemens. That's fine. They're tied to steroids. I understand why some of them leave those two guys off. But Andy Pettit and Manny Ramirez are also tied to performance-enhancing drugs. And not only are they tied to them, Manny Ramirez was caught taking them, I think twice. Andy Pettit admitted to taking them twice. This is what I don't understand. That's why I wish this wasn't anonymous. I wish I could ask the guy what his thinking was here. Andrew Jones, he was a good player. Scott Rowland, sure. Omar Vizquel, I have an issue with that. I don't think he's Hall of Fame worthy. I think he's Hall of Very Good. I know people will want to fight me on that, but that's my opinion. Bobby Abreu, I loved Bobby Abreu when he was a Yankee. Is he a Hall of Fame player? Yeah. You know, I don't know. The one thing I will say about this ballot is I'm surprised Curt Schilling isn't on it. And that's another thing. I don't know, maybe they're trying to invoke the character clause, but then again, if you're going to do that, why would you include two guys that were popped for PEDs? So I don't understand this ballot. I don't like that they can hand them in anonymous. I think you should have to explain yourself. The Hall of Fame is a museum, essentially. But these writers have the honor of being the ones that either allow you into the Hall of Fame or keep you out of the Hall of Fame. And I think that if you have the power and you have a ballot, you should have to explain yourself. It's easy to hide behind being anonymous and doing silly things like voting for guys who shouldn't even be in the Hall of Fame to be in the Hall of Fame. No offense to Tori Hunter, but he's not a Hall of Fame player. In a moment, I'm going to tell you what you should be thankful for as a Yankee fan in 2020. But first, I'm going to gush about Built Bar. As I said at the top, this episode is sponsored by Built Bar. I love Built Bar. I'm constantly telling you to get Built Bar. And guess what? They're having a Black Friday sale that starts Thanksgiving Day at 5 p.m. And there are new bars to try out. White chocolate cookies and cream, white chocolate salted caramel, and the promo is you get 2 free candy cane brownie bars with every item purchased. So go to builtbar.com and you'll get 25% off for Black Friday. And don't forget to use the original promo code to get an extra 20% off. So you can use the locked on code on top of that. Then there's a Cyber Monday sale, white chocolate cherry sundae, white chocolate coconut deluxe. You'll get 2 free candy cane brownie bars with each item purchased. That's while supplies last. You'll also get a free advent calendar with every purchase. And that comes with 12 Built Bites and 12 months of savings. So go to builtbar.com. You'll get 25% off for Black Friday, plus the 20% off locked on code to get an extra percentage off. So I was trying to think of things that Yankee fans can be thankful for in 2020. I think we should be thankful that while the Yankees have disappointed us in the playoffs the past few years, at least they've made the playoffs the last few years. You know, things were a little iffy there in the middle of the 2010s. 2013 wasn't fun. 2014 wasn't fun. 2015 wasn't really fun either because they got knocked out in the wild card game and then they missed the playoffs again in 2016. We saw some players leave during those years. We saw some players show up during those years, though. I mean, 2016, we welcomed Aaron Judge to the fold. We saw what a healthy and talented Gary Sanchez could do in 2016. I miss that Gary Sanchez. We should be thankful that we have a bona fide ace in our staff with Gerrit Cole. I think that if we had an entire season of Gerrit Cole, 162 games, we would have really seen what he was made of. And he didn't have a bad 2020 at all. He just started off a little slow, and then he became Gerrit Cole, and it was a pleasure to watch him pitch. We got to see what a healthy Giancarlo Stanton can do in the playoffs, and that's mash the ball really far. We also saw what a healthy Clint Frazier was capable of in the outfield. I mean, he was nominated for a Gold Glove. That was unimaginable in 2018 and 2019. Luke Voit led the league in home runs with one healthy foot. Honestly, there were times when I was watching him and grimacing along with him as he was hobbling around the bases. I know I joked a lot that he looked like, you know, late-day Mickey Mantle hobbling around the bases, but it was true. And I believe that he was getting treatment on his foot. He didn't need surgery. I think he got a PRP shot in the bottom of his foot. I think he had plantar fasciitis, which is so uncomfortable. I've never had it, but I know people who have, and they say it's absolutely awful. So I can't even imagine trying to play baseball on that foot. And it wasn't like, you know, he wasn't DHing most of the time. He was playing first base. So kudos to Luke Voit for doing as well as he did on one foot. We got to witness DJ LeMahieu have another stellar season and prove that 2019 wasn't a fluke. Gio Urshela had another good year, and he had a good series against Cleveland. I mean, I guess you can count that as a series, even though it was only two games, right? Again, the ending was disappointing to watch, but hey, at least the team that the Yankees lost to in the playoffs didn't win the World Series. Although, in some cases, that might be worse, right? Because you would rather lose to the team that goes on to win the World Series. Because then you can say that you lost to the best. So quickly, this day in Yankees history, 50 years ago, November 25th, 1970, Thurman Munson won the American League Rookie of the Year award. He received 23 of 24 first place votes. He was 23 years old at the time. He posted a 302, 386, 415 triple slash with 6 home runs, 53 runs batted in, which was good for a 126 OPS plus and a 5.5 WAR. This is according to Pinstripe Alley. 40 years ago, so November 25th, 1980, the Yankees hired Gene Michael as the team's 25th manager. He replaced Dick Houser. Now, despite the Yankees' 48-34 record, he was fired before the season ended. And then Bob Lemon took over, and they made it to the 81 World Series, but obviously they fell to the Dodgers that year. I know I always tell this story, but that's the first World Series I remember. I was 7 years old. I cried myself to sleep the night the Yankees lost. It's hard to believe that the Yankees went from me being 4 years old in 1978 to me being 22 in 1996. That's a long drought. But as I've said, I appreciate the fact that I was a fully formed, well, nearly fully formed adult. I mean, at 22, you're still not. I think your brain keeps going till you're 25, something like that. But you know what I mean. I was a fully formed adult. I understood what was going on. Unlike 78, I had no idea. And I appreciated that 96 win so much more because of my age and because of the time between World Series wins. No offense to our fan base, but the obnoxious people who demand the Yankees win all the time were young when they won all those World Series in the 90s and 2000. And they expected it every year. And that's how their childhood was. So they're the people in our fan base that make us look bad. They're the ones always mentioning the 27 rings. The 27 rings don't mean much when the Yankees have won one time since the beginning of the century, and the Red Sox have won four times. I know people listening are thinking, hello, they won in 2000, but I feel like 2000 is the tail end of the 90s still, because, you know, there is no year zero. Yes, I'm that pedantic. But anyway, the point is, the Yankees haven't done anything since 2009. The 2010s were the first time since, what, the 1910s that they didn't even make the World Series. So we're getting to that point where the drought is getting longer and longer, and the kids who were kids in 2009 are going to be old by the time the Yankees win again. Hopefully it'll be sometime soon. While I mentioned some of the storylines and players that we need to be thankful for in 2020, Luke Voit's name is coming up in trade rumors, which I find ridiculous. Why would you trade him? I mean, is there another first baseman out there who can hit as well as he does? I mean, I know his defense isn't that great, but is there someone out there that I'm not thinking of that the Yankees can get for him? Because if not, why bother? Other than that, it's quiet. Oh, I joked at the top that there was a trade between the Reds and the Rockies featuring players I had never heard of. And I shouldn't say that because I think there's one guy in this trade that sounds familiar to me. But they agreed to a trade, sending right-hander Jeff Hoffman and minor league righty Case Williams from Colorado to Cincinnati in exchange for right-hander Robert Stevenson and minor league outfielder Jameson Hanna. The Reds have formally announced the trade. Case Williams sounds familiar to me for some reason, and I don't know why. But the other guys, I have no idea who they are. And it was just funny because it was announced that the Reds and the Rockies had made a trade, and people were thinking, ooh, who could they have traded? And then it came out, and everyone's like, who are these guys? So I just thought that was amusing. So the hot stove isn't hot. It's not even lukewarm right now. But expect things to pick up closer to when they're supposed to have the winter meetings, because I don't think they're having them with COVID-19. Or if they are, it's all going to be via Zoom. So it's going to be a different type of atmosphere this year, but don't expect too much to happen between now and next week. So as I said, no show tomorrow. Happy Thanksgiving to everyone who celebrates, and I will be back on Friday. So for now, that's it for this episode of Locked On Yankees, which is part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'd like to remind you that you can subscribe to this show in Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Himalaya, Spotify, Stitcher, or anywhere else you get your podcasts. And when you get into your car, you can tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Yankees. One more thing, if you could be so kind, please rate the podcast and spread the word about this podcast to your fellow Yankee fans. We would really appreciate it. So enjoy your Thanksgiving if you celebrate, and I will talk to you all on Friday.